Now, Luke doesn't say more than this short passage about this first commission. So at this time, we'd like to turn over to Matthew, the 10th chapter, and give Matthew's account of this, which is quite a bit longer than what Luke says. Beginning back in the 9th chapter of Matthew, and the 36th verse, notice what Jesus said, which led up to his sending the 12 to preach. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now the multitude fainted. That is, they didn't have a strong faith. They didn't have the ability to withstand. And so they were scattered like a sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So the harvest is plenteous. There are a lot of people, multitudes that are needing to have the gospel taught to them, needing to have this good news of the kingdom proclaimed to them, and the news that the Messiah is here. But yet the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord that he's going to send laborers into his harvest. And then beginning in the 10th chapter now of Matthew, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Now beginning in the 2nd verse through the 4th verse, he names the 12 apostles. And so this is Matthew's account of the calling of the 12 apostles and giving their names. We've already covered this in an earlier lesson, so we're not going to go into that at this time. So let's skip down now to the 5th verse. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying..." Now he sent the 12 forth. Remember, one of these 12 was Judas Iscariot, the man who later had Satan enter into him. But at this time, Judas was an apostle. He was one of the holy 12. He was just as saved as any other apostle at this time. But Judas underwent a change. He fell by transgression, according to Acts 1:25. And so let us not think that Judas was always in error, that Judas was always a lost individual, because this is not true. He's one of the 12 that Jesus sent forth to preach. So the 12 Jesus sent forth, commanding them, saying, we're in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 10, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not." And Jesus told them very plainly, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not go into the city of the Samaritans. These men were commissioned for a very special purpose, and it was not to go to the Gentiles. Now remember, this could not be teaching to the church today. These words of Jesus were not law to the church. These were words that applied simply to his ministry at the time he was here on the earth, and to this temporary commission of the apostles to go preach. So don't go to the Gentiles, and don't go to the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're just to go to the Jewish people, to those known as the lost sheep of the house of Israel. "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now let's not try to twist God's word around and make it read something that it doesn't read. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is teaching very simply that the kingdom was imminently upon them. It was to come in the very near future. It was at hand. John the Baptist's whole purpose was to teach that the kingdom of heaven was at hand and to prepare the way for the establishment of the kingdom and for the coming of the Messiah. And that's what John did. Well, at this time, John is already dead. He'd already accomplished his purpose of preparing the way for it. And it is at hand. In one place, Jesus said in Mark 9:1, "Some of you standing here shall not see death until you, rather shall not taste death till you see the kingdom of God come with power." So it was to come during their lifetime. And it did come during their lifetime. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom, and we'll see where he used those keys. And again, Paul, writing to the Colossians, told them that they had been delivered from the powers of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. The Colossians were in that kingdom during the first century. So Jesus simply said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 7. Then he proceeds to tell them further. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now this was, of course, just a summary of the things they would be doing. They'd receive freely and they were to give freely. Give of their powers, their ability to help others freely. Then he further instructs them in verse 9, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. It seems that they were to earn their way as they go. As they preach this good news of the kingdom, those who heard it and appreciated it then were to reciprocate by helping to support the necessary needs of these apostles. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. That is, whenever they came to the house, if it was a worthy house, that is, if they would receive the gospel, if they would be amenable to the teaching of the apostles, then they were to salute the house, they were to have a pronouncement of peace to come upon this house. But if the house was not worthy, then they were to take the pronouncement of peace back. Let your peace return to you. Do not leave peace with this house. It's not God's will that they have peace. So let the peace come back to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, to shake off the dust of their feet was a symbolic as well as an actual event that symbolized the unworthiness and the contamination, as it were, caused by those who will not receive the gospel. And he goes on to say that it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for those of that city that will not receive you. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, sheep in the midst of wolves. We think a lot of times about a whole herd of sheep and one wolf coming into the herd and wreaking all kinds of havoc. But think about sheep in the midst of wolves, so that you seem to be in the minority. There are more wolves than there are sheep. The sheep have very little chance, it seems. So he says, in view of this, be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So that they were to use all the wisdom, all of the ability that they could muster up to outwit, to outdo those who would bring about harm upon them, but yet they were not to retaliate and to return the harm in turn. But beware of men. Now notice this, beware of men. What we don't realize that in the service to Christ, our real enemies come in the form of men. We're not to be afraid of storms, lightning, wind, rain, water, heat, cold. Those are not the things that we're to be afraid of. Wild animals, bears, beasts, lions, whatever. We're to be aware of men, because it is men who will cause us to lose our souls. Men are the ones who change God's will. Men are the ones that we tend to want to follow whenever they then are not to be followed. God never intended that we follow a man or any group of men, but yet men perpetually put themselves in a position of being followed. And men also put themselves in the position of being followers. Neither side should allow this to happen. A man shouldn't allow someone to follow him, and a group should not allow themselves to be followers of a man or of a group of men. Beware of men. Men are the ones who will pervert the gospel. Men are the ones who will entice you to sin. Men are the ones who will draw you away from God. Not some wild animal. Not some storm. Not some physical catastrophe on this earth. They're not going to cause you to lose your soul. They're not going to turn you away from God. But men will. So Jesus said, beware of men. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you should be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Now these apostles then were to have many things happen. They were going to be brought before governors and kings. They were going to be brought before the synagogues. They were going to be beaten in these synagogues. And they're going to be brought up before the council and tried before the very highest law of the land, simply because they were disciples of Christ and they were preaching the gospel of the coming of the kingdom. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. So they were to be miraculously endowed then with the things that they were to speak. And they were not to worry about what to say, because it would be a thing of the Holy Spirit. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. Now can you imagine this? The great dissension is going to come right down within family lines. Brothers against brother. The father against the child. The children against their parents. And they're going to cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Those who endure, those who last to the very end, will be saved, whereas those who, of course, do not endure, but who give way to this persecution, to this tremendous emotional strain that's going to be placed that'll even divide family member against family member, they'll not be saved. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. We're reading this verse 22 again. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Now what he's probably referring to here is the destruction of Jerusalem. This would be the Son of Man come visiting a judgment upon Israel. And so he said, you won't have time to go over all of Israel. Don't waste time with one city if they won't receive you. Go to another. You'll not have time to go over all the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. And of course, that was only about 40 years from this time that Jerusalem was destroyed. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Now, just as I am your master, Jesus says, and I am your Lord, you're not going to be above me. And the things I have to endure, you're going to have to endure. So he says, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach you up on the housetops. Now, Jesus said, go on and preach this gospel. Don't hold it back. Tell everything. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, that would be God. Don't fear the man who can kill your body and can't do anything to your soul. Do not obey. Do not submit. Do not give deference to him because of his power to kill your body. Rather fear God, the one who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. One little sparrow can fall, and the Lord knows about it, and they're worth so very little. But yet every hair upon your head is numbered. Saying you're worth far more than a sparrow. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now if we confess him, whoever, he says, confesses me, I will confess him. But the ones that deny me, I will deny them before my Father. And there are many, many ways in which we can deny the Lord. Many ways that we can make the Lord know that we want no part of him, and we let mankind know the same. We want no part of the Lord. Think not that I am come to bring peace on the earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. How can you imagine this? A man's foes shall be they of his own household. These are the people that are going to cause the trouble to those that follow Christ. Those in their own household will not tolerate this obedience to Christ. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So Jesus is alluding here to his death, which he must have referred to in the past. They must have already known it was going to be a death on the cross, so that this wording could have some meaning for them. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. That is, if he findeth his life, that is the fulfillment of the fleshly, earthly, manly desires. If he finds that, he's going to lose his life. That is, he's going to lose the spiritual part of life. But if he loses his life, if he gives up those things that are the desires of the flesh, then he will find his life. Then he goes on and concludes by saying, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So if we receive a prophet because he's a prophet, that is in the name of a prophet, then you're going to receive the same reward that the prophet receives, or the same is true of the righteous man. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So a disciple is so important. That if somebody just recognizes him as a disciple and gives a cup of cold water in the name of this disciple, because he's a disciple, he'll not lose his reward. Because he then, if he recognizes him as a disciple, will also be a disciple. Now that concludes what Matthew has to say about the first commission. So we go back now to Luke 9 and see how Luke concludes this. Luke 9, verse 6, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel, healing everywhere. So Luke simply relates how they carried out this commission that Christ gave. This was a temporary commission, and many of the things, of course, that pertained to it probably went on over into the church. But for the most part, it was a temporary commission and only to last until its time was over, which was no doubt a few weeks after it had been set in. Well, we'll close at that point. Then ready to begin with the 7th verse of the 9th chapter next time. Thank you.